all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The 15th IAAF World Championships in Athletics officially begins Saturday in Beijing, China. The 9-day competition is being staged at the Beijing National Stadium, nicknamed the Bird's Nest. This will be the largest sporting event to take place at the facility since the 2008 Olympics. The stadium has a seating capacity of 91,000. The IAAF's outgoing president, Senegal's Lamine Diack, says he's delighted to report that the Bird's Nest will be full for all the evening sessions and will be at around 90% capacity for the morning sessions. Look for a few African athletes to win medals on Saturday's opening day of action. There will be finals in the men's 10,000 meters and the men's marathon. Marco Uma has this preview for us.
Ugandan defending champion Stephen Kiprotich seeks to retain his marathon title in the first event at the IAAF World Athletics Championships, which starts in Beijing, China, tomorrow Saturday. His main challengers are Ethiopian Lelisa Desisa, a silver medalist at the last World Championships, Kenya's Olympic silver medalist Wilson Kipsang, and world record holder Dennis Kimeto. Staying in Beijing, South Africa's Stephen Mokoka aims for a better result in his third consecutive 10,000 meters at the World Championships. He gives an insight into his frame of mind.
If you could look at the history of me in terms of world championships, I come from Daegu. I got a one lap, and then 2 years later I went to Moscow. I was in a race. I could manage to stay with the guys till the last 8 kilometers. That's when they moved away from me, but when I finished, they were like 150 meters to go away from me. I'm hoping to improve on that, because the only way is I always take myself as my own opponent, and then I always look at my level. So for me, I'm not even going to be a factor on the race. The most important thing is to see whether I'm developing, and then I'm improving as much as I can. For me to finish, I'm like on the home straight with the guys, it will be a great achievement for me. I mean, to look at the history where I started in terms of track and field. So my main goal is to see improving from my previous competition in terms of championships.
That was Stephen Mokoka, the South African 10,000 meter champion, speaking in Beijing, China.
Here's something to crow about, VOA sports fans. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moweta. Good evening, Namdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Undefeated Floyd Mayweather has made his next fight. He'll take on the Haitian Andre Berto September 12th. But first, Namdi, let's look back at Mayweather's last fight, the much ballyhooed bout against Manny Pacquiao. The final numbers for that fight, Namdi, are they in?
Sonny, the final numbers are in, but part of these numbers were kept away from the public. Floyd Mayweather made $220 million for that fight. Just for stepping into the ring and fighting. But remember also, he is the co-promoter of the fight with Bob Arum. So hidden from the public was the amount he made from being the co-promoter. He made $150 million. So
goodness.
At $150 million plus $220 million, Talk about more than crazy paper right there.
He's banking for sure.
Oh, serious banking, bro.
Namdi, why Berto? I mean, there were some other bigger names available for Mayweather to fight.
For us, you have the American who talked up him fighting Mayweather for a long time. He pushed for the fight. Then you have your Danny Garcia. You have your Keith Thurman. But all these guys, they are okay. I mean, American in his last fight with Aguirre, he struggled and he's okay. He's a big talker, but he just wouldn't give Mayweather the kind of fight Mayweather wants for his last fight, which he claims to be. American will move and run, and that's not what we want. Keith Thurman almost got knocked out in his backyard in his last fight. Andre Berto is an explosive puncher, former world champion. He comes to fight, and I don't know why the media and the public just don't care for this fight.
What have the ticket sales been like for what Mayweather says will be his last fight?
Well, like I said, the media really killed this fight. The media never really gave this fight any love at all. If you're talking about walking money, I mean, you're looking about like $231 for just to walk into the venue compared to $5,000 for the Manny Pacquiao fight. The love is not there, really.
Namdi, Floyd Mayweather called Manny Pacquiao a sore loser after Pac-Man complained of a shoulder injury after his unanimous decision loss. What's the Pac-Man's health like these days?
Well, he claims he's ready to go and he will fight in the beginning of the year. And they're talking about taking him to Dubai to fight Amir Khan. Both were once trained by Freddie Roach. And they were both sparring partners. So any big demand for American versus Manny Pacquiao may be in the Middle East with Dubai with big money. But I still don't like that fight.
Why don't you like it, Namdi?
American has a style we call jab and grab. Jab and grab style. Another apostle of jab and grab is Wladimir Klitschko, you know that guy. They will jab you and they will hold you, they grab you, they will run. And fight fans don't want that style. It's a boring style. American against Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao will face the same trouble he faced with Floyd Mayweather, trying to cut off the ring. He'll be not able to cut off the ring. And American will win easy, one-sided fight, which will make Manny Pacquiao Mayweather 2 impossible. VOA!
Namdi, how about an update for our VOA boxing fans about some of the top Africans who have been in the ring recently or are getting into the ring?
The boys have not been really doing good. The boys have been robbed. We have Fred Kassi from Douala, Cameroon. This right on television, a Saturday afternoon against Chris Ariola, Mexican-American, in El Paso. It's like fighting a man in his living room. If you don't really destroy him or beat him up, his family and everybody's watching, you can't win, you know. So at the end of 10 rounds, they call it a majority draw. Mm. What? Fred Kassi beats Chris Ariola 96-94 on my scorecard. And that was just a plain robbery on a Saturday afternoon.
Mm.
The same case with Wally Omotosho against Sammy Vasquez. Omotosho had Vasquez all bloodied up and bruised up, and they called it a unanimous decision. Though Omotosho gave away the early rounds, but Omotosho finished the fight strong, you know, and I was not happy with that decision, too. We have Sharif Bogari from Uganda. Sharif really need to make a move now because injuries and not fighting the right guys will not bring him the money he needs to make because he was supposed to be on the card here in L.A. and he pulled out because of injuries. And I'm being told now he's got a fight in Cancun, but who's going to see the fight in Cancun? It's a meaningless fight. He needs to come back to the U.S., go back on TV like he used to do in the past and destroy guys, and he'll be lined for a world title fight. Fighting in the backyard in Mexico, you can get robbed.
Namdi, in 3 months, on November 21st, a fight that caught my eye, Miguel Cotto versus the red-headed Mexican Canelo. How's this one shaping up?
This could be the biggest all-action fight of the year, and maybe fight of the year. You have two knockout artists, which we call a Picasso right here. Cotto is, in 44 fights, he has 33 knockouts. Canelo, in 47 fights, he has 32 knockouts. And, you know, this big rivalry between Mexico and Puerto Rico. Go back to the days of Salvador Sanchez against Wilfredo Gomez. I mean, these two countries, they are the biggest boxing fans. And you have the two superstars from these two countries ready to clash for the WBC middleweight title. And check this, Sonny, it's going to be at a catch weight, which is 155 pounds, which is 5 pounds lower than the 160 for a middleweight.
So it sounds like lots of action and maybe last man standing, Namdi?
Don't go to your fridge.
Thanks, Namdi. I won't go to the fridge. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Turning to tennis, Swiss star Roger Federer trounced South Africa's Kevin Anderson 6-1 and 6-1 to reach the quarterfinals of the Cincinnati Masters tournament in the U.S. state of Ohio. I mentioned during Thursday's Sunny Side of Sports that Anderson faced a daunting challenge in Federer, winner of a record 17 Grand Slam singles titles, and Federer was in top form, putting on a clinic in ousting Anderson. Hey, Roger, how does it feel to beat the world's 15th ranked men's player?
It's a great feeling when you know you can beat top 10, top 20 players frequently, but then also sometimes with a scoreline like this, maybe not one and one, but you know, like something convincing where you feel like you're in control the whole time. That gives you definitely a lot of confidence going forward.
Going forward, Roger Federer will face Spain's Feliciano Lopez in the quarterfinals in Cincinnati. In the other quarterfinal matchups, world number one Novak Djokovic of Serbia will play Stan Wawrinka of Switzerland. Alex Dolgopolov of Ukraine will meet Tomas Berdych of the Czech Republic. And Frenchman Richard Gasquet will take on Britain's Andy Murray. This Cincinnati hardcourt tournament is a warm-up event for the U.S. Open in New York, the year's final Grand Slam competition. The U.S. Open gets underway August 31st in New York City. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. And here's a quick shout-out for one of my Facebook friends, Fred Alambo, who sent me a Facebook message. Fred says he tunes in via shortwave radio in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for my Voice of America engineer this evening, Sule Terawale. Kick it, Sule! Kick it!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight radio program. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight immediately following the Sunny Side of Sports at 1800 UTC, co-hosted by Kim Lewis and Yahayis Wuhib. Africa News Tonight at the top of the hour, 1800 UTC. Well, earlier in the show, I mentioned Lamine Diack of Senegal, the outgoing president of the International Association of Athletics Federations. On Wednesday in Beijing, the IAAF's member federations elected the next president, Britain's two-time Olympic champion, Sebastian Coe.
Very, very flattered today. Very, very honored. I haven't really had much of a chance to allow it to sink in. And I guess that's probably not going to happen for a day or two. But I joined an athletics club when I was 11. I had a 10, 12-year apprenticeship before I got to an Olympic stadium. I've had the joys of Olympic competition. I've had the joys of being a part of a team that created something very special in London a few years ago. But this, for me, is the pinnacle. It is my sport. It's my passion. It's the thing that I've always wanted to do.
Sebastian Coe defeated another Olympic champion, Sergei Bubka from Ukraine, 115-92, in voting by the IAAF's member federations in Beijing, China. The 58-year-old Coe pledged to make track and field an even stronger sport.
Track and field is the number one sport, and I'm absolutely delighted to be the president of the number one sport. And I will do everything within my human capabilities to make sure that our sport maintains the values, maintains the strong legacies, and the very, very firm foundations that President Diack has left me with.
Sebastian Coe will officially succeed Senegal's Lamine Diack as the IAAF president on August 31st, after the end of the World Championships in Beijing. The 82-year-old Diack, who was a long jumper in his younger days, was first elected the IAAF president in 1999. Sebastian Coe paid tribute to the athletics chief.
I'm sitting next to a man who has dedicated his life to the sport, and I know in private conversations wants to spend a great deal more time with his many grandchildren. I'm not letting him go too far. He ceases to be our president on the 31st of August, but he will always be our spiritual president, and he will certainly be my spiritual president. So thank you, Lamine, for your help, your generosity of time, your guidance, and above all, your friendship. That is something that I will always treasure.
That's Sebastian Coe praising the outgoing IAAF president, Lamine Diack. Coe was elected the next president of the International Association of Athletics Federations in Beijing. Two big Japanese companies are offering some big bonus money for athletes who set world records at the upcoming World Championships in Beijing. Marco Uma reports.
Any athlete who sets a world record at the IAAF World Athletics Championships in Beijing, China, stands to earn US$100,000 bonus besides their normal prize money, the World Athletics governing body IAAF revealed in Beijing. The World Athletics Championships, which is the third biggest and most prestigious global sports event after the Summer Olympics and FIFA World Cup, starts on Saturday and runs until the 30th of August. Japanese Communications Corporation, TDK, is sponsoring the men's world record bonus prize, while Japan Japan's Toyota Motor Corporation is sponsoring the Women's World Record Bonus Prize. The IWF stressed that prize money and bonuses will only be dispersed after the athletes' performance are ratified, which also includes clearing the relevant anti-doping procedures.
Hi, I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on. This is for the world. Just go.
Larry Zamude, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 80.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja, Nigeria. Let's talk to you about Brilla FM. It's Nigeria's only sports station, of course, with partner, that VOA. VOA! And so you can listen to Sunny Side of Sports on 80.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja. Keep listening, Africa, and enjoy Sunny Side of Sports on Brilla.
Thanks, Dr. Larry. In addition to Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM stations in Lagos and Abuja, Dr. Larry also has stations in Kaduna and Onitsha, Nigeria. We're delighted to be your partner, Dr. Larry, so keep it sporty.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Another big sports election will take place February 26, 2016, when world football's corruption-stained governing body FIFA holds a special vote to elect a new leader to succeed Sepp Blatter. One of the early favorites is 60-year-old Michel Platini, the former French star who has headed the European Football Confederation, UEFA, for 8 years. Jordan's Prince Ali bin Al Hussein, who lost to Blatter in the May election, has also been described as a top contender. Meanwhile, one of the long-shot candidates is Moussa Bilitti, the president of the Liberia Football Association. My VOA colleague James Buddy reached him by phone in Monrovia and asked him, why are you running for FIFA president?
At this time, FIFA needs reform, and those who have nothing to do with what has brought it to this level must be given the chance to revamp it. It cannot be those who have been running it, either in the past or in the very, very recent past. It's absolutely not accepted. So among the candidates that are running, I think I'm the most viable, most suitable. And also, we have had a situation where since the formation of FIFA, all of the presidents, the past president of FIFA, has been European. Even the one president that was from the Americas, Brazil to be specific, is half European. So basically, all of the presidents have had some European origin. It's time to move football around. It's time to allow the rest of the world to feel and test the leadership of the organization. That would be more confidence. That would be more resonance with the rest of the world. This is not a European Union to say that all heads of the organization must come from Europe.
You said FIFA needs reform. What sort of reforms do you think FIFA needs?
It needs to be more transparent. I mean, we're all aware of everything that's going on. The decision-making process has to be more robust. It has to be more people-friendly. It has to reflect what the organization is about. So we have to change the way decisions are made. We have to change the accountability level. We have to make sure that where the world attention is, there's credibility.
As president of the Liberia Football Association, what have you done to propel you to be president of FIFA?
I've changed Liberian football. I've done several things that have never been done in the history of Liberia. 168 years old, Liberia has never had a football technical center before. I've got Liberia 1. 168 years old. Liberia has never had a football development program. I have got Liberia one. 168 years old. Liberia has never reached to the level of having trained A-class, A-lesson certified coaches. I have got them one. For the first time in the history of this country, the Liberia Football Association has managed the national team and bowled 90% of the budget of the national team. In the last 5 years, since I have been president of LFA, we have spent almost $11 million on the Liberia national team. 10 of those $11 million has come from the Liberia Football Association. In the past, 100% of everything that the Liberia Football Association has spent came from government. Under my administration, 90% of everything came from the Liberia Football Association. I think that's a change. Beyond that, I've created assets for the Liberia Football Association. I bought property. Now they're going to have the headquarter for the first time in the history of the Liberia Football Association. Now they're going to have property worth at least $1.5 million. So I've done much more.
The allegation that FIFA is corrupt, or the leadership, that has been the theme almost since the scandal began. If you are elected president, what are you going to do to deal with that?
One of the reasons why we see all this corruption of our vote is that I'll remove the secret vote system for the bidding of World Cup. When you are bidding for the World Cup, countries will be allowed to present their cases to the entire Congress, and each nation will stand up and declare who they are going to vote for. And that decision will be made public, and everybody will know where you stand, and there's no need for corruption and bribery.
I want to ask you about the Lone Star of Liberia. How is the team?
We're good. We're getting ready now for our game against Tunisia. Another month after, we will play against Guinea-Bissau home and away, and then probably, most likely, we'll play against Ivory Coast home and away. All those games will be played between now and November.
This is in preparation for
the World Cup and the African Cup of Nations.
That's Musa Bility, the president of the Liberia Football Association, and he was talking from Monrovia with my VOA colleague, James Buddy, the host of our Daybreak Africa radio show. More African football news now on the VOA. The national women's team from Ivory Coast has withdrawn from qualifying for the 2016 Olympics ahead of Sunday's third round, second leg match away to Zimbabwe. Ivory Coast had been handed a 3-0 walkover in the first leg after Zimbabwe failed to travel to Ivory Coast because of a lack of funds. The latest twist puts Zimbabwe through to the next round, but their place in that next round to face Cameroon is in doubt. World Football's governing body, FIFA, wants assurances Zimbabwe has the funds for both home and away games. The matches will determine which country reaches the women's tournament in Rio. They're scheduled to be played in Yaounde on October 2nd, 3rd, or 4th, while the return leg match would be played in Harare 2 weeks later. In more football news, Tim Howard's year-long sabbatical from the U.S. national men's soccer team is over. The star goalkeeper is scheduled to rejoin the national team right here in Washington ahead of a September 4th friendly against Peru at RFK Stadium. The 36-year-old Howard has not represented the USA since his great performance against Belgium in the round of 16 at the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. Howard cited family reasons, the demands of international travel, as wanting to concentrate on his English Premier League club career with Everton. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Africa News Tonight, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.